Today is Friday, March 24th, 2023. This is part 6 of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Charlie Schulz. Charlie spells his last name S-C-H-U-L-Z. My name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Charlie. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great, good to hear it. Charlie, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
You do have my permission.
Thank you so much. Charlie, in the end of part 5, you had told us about you were starting to organize rim-to-rim runs, and you conducted one in 1986, but there was another adventure you did in 86, and wondered if you could land us back into that.
Yeah, well, I need to go back to 1984 for a week-long trip that I took with CL and a couple other folks.
Okay.
I've got this map where I've got a lot of this stuff marked out where we had hiked and backpacked. And I knew this one was on there, and I couldn't figure out where it was going to show up in my list here. And so I spent some time going back through my notes, and I found it, and it's April 21st to the 27th. And 1984.
Okay.
And there were CL and myself and one of the one other guy who worked with CL. And the three of us went down Tanner to the river, and then we went up the river to Palisades Creek.
Okay.
Which is right across from Lava Rapids, right in that area.
Yes, Lava Chuar, that's right.
Yep, and we had our small raft, we blew that up, and we crossed just above Lava Rapids.
Okay, and so you can walk a ways upstream, but eventually you run into a cliff at Carbon, but the water's pretty wide in there and pretty flat, so you guys, but it is above a rapid.
Right.
And so how did you guys work that out exactly?
Well, we on the way up, of course, we had to stop back by that. There's a mine back in there.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah.
And we checked that out. And then we got to the area there. That was where we camped that first night after we'd come down Tanner.
Okay.
It was right at Lava Rapids. And we had taken our small beach raft, our pool raft, and we did the crossing like we had done before. One person in the raft went across through the pack out, went back and got a person, hauled that person across. Then the second person in the raft rode back, took a pack over, and went back and hauled the third person across, and so on. So that we could get one person in a pack at a time. And we had to do it so that we didn't leave anybody on one side or the other if we'd lost control of the raft for some reason.
Got it.
Out of pack.
Got it.
And so we got everybody across. And it was above the rapids. And that tended to be, I know it seems a little bit strange, but it was easier above the rapids because although there was flow coming down, it seemed to flatten out just before it would break over the rapids.
Okay.
So it wasn't particularly difficult to row across. It didn't carry us very fast or anything as far as moving down. And we learned from the other one that you go upstream a little bit each time, and because you're gonna go down
mm-hmm.
a little bit with flow.
Yes.
And so we kind of compensated for that, and we got everybody and all of our gear across.
Nice. So let me make sure I understand. The first person would go across with a pack and leave
right.
it there and come back.
Right.
And then would go across again with no pack but a person. So two people would cross.
Right.
So that way, and then one of those people would stay with the pack. So that way you've got
right.
a person in a pack, and the
yep.
person in the boat's going back to a person and two packs.
Right.
Got it. That's pretty clever.
Picking up one of those packs, taking that one across and leaving it.
Okay.
And then going back and getting the third person, taking them over, and then that.
So now there's two people and two packs on one
right.
side.
Two packs and two people, and one pack all by itself on the other side.
Right. Okay.
And then the person goes back, gets that last pack, and comes across with it.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Good thinking. Okay, so now you're on the west side of the river. The trail is on the east side, the Beamer Trail going into the Little Colorado River from extension from the Tanner. There's no trail on your side, but the river runners are over there and they walk around a lot. What did you do?
Yep. Well, we went up that canyon, which is called Lava Creek Canyon or Lava Canyon.
Yeah, Lava Chuar.
Chuar, right, yep. And we found, because we had read Harvey's book, and in there he talked about this mill, just this mill that was banged into a tree, and the tree was growing up around it.
Cool. This is a coffee grinder that's it's in a, you know, like a cottonwood tree.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's a grinder of some kind. I don't know if it was a mill, but there was always a story about bootleggers up that canyon
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
So, in any case, we found that, and we continued on up that canyon, and we went up to kind of where it comes to a head, and it splits, and it goes to the right and the left, an area that, on the map, to me, it looks like Natch Canyon, where Chuar kind of it comes to a T. And at that point, there were ruins right in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we set up another camp right there and spent a weird night there because there was big storms and the wind would come rolling up the canyon and you could hear it coming up the canyon from the river and it would just be roaring like a train. And then it would hit your tent and the tent would just shake and rattle like it was going to come loose and then the wind would pass. And then it would be quiet for, you know, 10 minutes, and then you'd hear this roaring noise coming again.
Huh.
So it was evidently the thermals and everything that were, you know, changing with the storm and everything. It was really interesting. And there wasn't a lot of water in that particular area either. We ended up, we found the spring that would be flowing in the late afternoon. But during the morning, it was dry. So we figured out real quick, you got to fill up your water at night. Because the next morning, until it warmed up, there was no water flowing or coming down through that area.
Interesting. So was it freezing at night?
Yeah. It was still getting, it was April. And
okay.
We were up pretty high because the next day, or one of our side trips then, was to go up the Hartman Arch, which is just below the lookout that's on the rim that's, what do they call it, Angel's
Window? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So this is right below that in that area. So we're up pretty high.
Okay.
And so it did get cold in there at night. So we got up there. CL had this thing for checking out arches. So
okay.
If there was an arch, we were going to go see it, that's for sure.
Hmm.
So we checked that out and then came back down, spent another night, and then we crossed going south over the saddle quite a ways up and then back down into Unkar.
Okay.
And then we followed Unkar down to the river, and that was one of the places where Harvey had pointed out there was this 40 route through the Red Wall, or one of those layers, and in the book, and sure enough, it was 40. And when we first looked at it, we couldn't believe that's really where you meant us to go down. But we made it down through there.
So this is through the Red Wall from the Lava Chuar side into the Unkar side.
Right.
Okay. Fun.
And then as we came down through Unkar, and we started seeing more ruins. And then, of course, once you get to the river, there's a big area there where they had farmed. And there's all kinds of stuff that the raft trips had collected and stuff, you know, pottery charts and all that kind of stuff down there.
Yeah.
And so we spent the night there. And the next morning, we got up and we crossed over. We went up river a ways because we wanted to get above Punkar, of course, and we found a place where we could roll across, and there was a rock about halfway across, and we could get to that rock, and as you're rolling across, the water coming around the rock would curl back up behind it and pull us back up to the rock, and then we would strike out again. So that
Neat. So there's an island there. It's kind of more closer to the river right side than the river left side.
Yeah.
But you were using that island as a way to help you go across the river.
Right.
Cool.
It would scoot you up behind it, you know, with
get a little eddy. Yeah.
And then once you got there, then you could launch out again and make it across. And
nice.
We did the same process getting across. And we were just about done, I think, the last one or the next to the last one. And here comes a group of big early rafters, you know, private trip.
Uh-huh.
And they said, hey, there's no sense doing that. Jump on. So last guy jumped on and got rowed across the river on the boat. Didn't have to do anything. But
cool.
They were nice people and, you know, helped us out and get across the river.
Oh, very nice.
And then the next day we went up Cardenas Canyon for quite a ways, as far up as we could go. And we really weren't sure there was a way out of there, but we wanted to go up and check it out. So we went way up inside of that and then even into a side canyon. We didn't find a way out, but it was still kind of cool. It's kind of a cool canyon to check out.
There is Harvey does talk about a route up through there, up through the Tepetes, and then there's a Redwall route right there, too, and it's a great shortcut to get back up to the Tanner Trail.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if it was us or maybe things have changed or washed out or whatever. But
okay.
We didn't find the way out that way.
Okay, fair enough.
We ended up coming back around and picking up Tanner at the bottom and then coming out on Tanner. But we did, I mean, like I said, it was a cool canyon. It was almost like a slot canyon for a lot of it.
It's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So then you just walk the Escalante Trail east over to Tanner and then up that way.
Excuse me. Yes, that's the way then we went back out that way.
Okay. Nice. That sounds like a wonderful loop.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And there was coming out of, we didn't have great weather for some reason. I don't know, April's usually not that bad, but we were pretty much overcast the whole time.
Huh.
And like I said, there was that stormy, windy weather or at least one night in that canyon we were camping up by the woods. But when we came back out to the rim, of course, that's when it cleared up and the sun came out.
As always, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you weren't too hot.
No. No, we made it out Tanner in just over 4 hours. So.
You know, what do you remember about getting a permit back then in 1984 for an adventure like this, which required the use of a little raft to get across the river?
Yeah, well, our very first time we used the raft, we didn't know quite what to do either, and we were going to use it on the North Bass to South Bass crossing.
So right.
We were even planning. We were not planning to go to the South Rim, because they wanted us to bring the raft and the paddles and the life preservers, life jackets, to the backcountry office to have them verify that all this stuff was, you know, safety at the proper levels and everything.
Okay.
And so CL was the one that did it, and I don't know who he talked to or whatever, but he got them to agree that we didn't have to come into the south. It was all right for us to go to the north rim, and that there would be somebody there, although the north rim had already shut down. Or was close to shutting down, and we went to the backcountry office there, and we just laid everything out. The guy kind of looked at it, shrugged his shoulders, and gave us a permit and let us go.
Okay.
So I don't know if nobody told him what he was looking for, or if he figured we were dumb enough to try this. It was on us, but one way or another, he didn't even pick it up to look at the tags. It was pretty casual as far as him saying, go ahead and go. On the other hand, he may have been just a contractor or one of the, the maintenance people wouldn't have known what to look for anyway.
Hmm. So on this trip, did they require the same thing? Did they want to look everything, or did they say, well, we've already seen your stuff?
No. Uh-uh. Yeah, once we had made one crossing, when you put down, at that time, when you're putting in a permit, a lot of times you put down a little history, what you've done. And so we always added, here's what we've done, here's where we did it, here's how we did it, that kind of stuff. And there was no problem getting the permits for that area as far as backcountry at that time.
Okay.
We never saw anybody on these except once in a while on the river.
Right.
One time, I talked about it already on the South Bass, we saw one couple one time and she'd been hurt.
Right.
But on Tanner, we didn't run into anybody. There's one hike that I'll talk to you a little later that's kind of the last one we do in 2001. And that one, we ran into several people, but that was in an area that was much more, more people use it.
It's interesting, in April, not to run into another group. You're being a small group of three. That means any use area you're in could have another small group in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, the way it's managed, your chances of running into that other group aren't that great.
Yeah.
So it's nicely done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then hiking out the Tanner was a slog, and off you went.
Yeah. Yeah. And that usually when it came time to going out, we just kind of put our head down and we hit bang the distance out. We'd be a lot more careful or much more interested in looking around when we were down in the canyon, like the hike up 2 hour and up to the arch and all that kind of stuff. We spent a lot of time goofing off and looking at stuff around us in those situations. But when it came time to leave the canyon, it was basically put your head down, chug out.
Yeah. And your vehicles were there right at the top of the trailhead, so no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good adventure. And did CL get this idea, you think, from talking to Harvey? Because Harvey was doing a ton of river crossings in the 50s. For him, this was no big deal.
Yeah, he was doing it. The stuff I read about him, doing it with an inner tube and stuff like that.
With an air mattress.
Yeah, and he had his body in the water.
Right.
At that time, it wasn't as cold as it is now.
Before the dam, yeah.
It was before the dam, but I'll be honest. I was always apprehensive about every one of these crossings, but knock on these days. But we never had a problem. Never had a leak. Never had lost anything. Never lost anybody. Never bumped into a rock and deflated the thing and had to start all over or any of that kind of stuff. So
nice, good.
Yeah, we were very lucky in that respect. So I assume we were smarter than we thought we were. Like I said, the very first time we took rope thinking we could tie the rope on and one party could pull it back across, and we realized there's nowhere near enough rope for one thing. And the second thing is if the rope broke or your raft, then you're losing it for sure. So it was much safer, we felt, to have a person in the raft whenever it was in the water.
Yeah, no, I, you guys did really well. And your planning, clearly, I think as most people do, planning a crossing like that, it works fairly well. Nice. Okay, so shall we then head back to 86?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure. Let's just start at the beginning of 1986.
No, you had told us about organizing. This was, I think, the first rim-to-rim. It was your third rim-to-rim, but the first one that you organized.
Right. That was October 2nd,
Yes.
It was 86. That was the third rib to rib. And
you told us about that. Terry Moore had the fastest time at 4:31.
Right, exactly. And there were about a dozen of us at that time, and we'd gotten, we'd gone from a van to a kind of a small bus, and it actually had a driver, a friend of a friend who lived in Sun City, and he drove it up, and then after we departed that morning, he drove around to the south rim to wait for us, and he was actually slower than the fastest runners.
Cool.
He got to the rim before he got around there.
Huh.
After that, the next couple times, we ended up with actually a professional driver, and those guys took it as a challenge to beat this runner. I'd hate to be in those buses coming around, but they must have really ripped and roared when they left.
Because
they took it as a challenge to get around before the first runner made it out of the canyon.
So, besides that rim to rim in 86, did you do any other hiking in or walking anything else in Grand Canyon in 86?
Yeah, we did. That was October 2nd. Then October 11th to the 17th, with Seattle into the Grand Canyon again. We went down Hermit and we cut over to Monument. And we get down to Monument to the river, and we spent the night. And the next morning, we got up and started blowing up the raft because we wanted to cross the river.
Okay.
And as we were blowing up the raft, our luck came across again. A raft guy pulled up and said, "Hey, jump on out. I'll take you across."
Nice.
And so we up our stuff, and he took us across and dumped us on the other side.
So hang on a second. Were you above the rapid or below the rapid when you asked for that ride across?
We were above. Yeah, we were always above the rapid. We were never. It just seemed to, the water seemed to kind of always spread out and slow down a little bit before it would roll over.
Yeah.
And that's where we felt safest on crossing over.
Good
we
enough.
We realized if it went wrong, we were going to go through the rapid, but.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because. It's a bit of a challenge to hike away from the river on top of Granite Rapid, having done it once before. And if I had a pack, I'd much rather kind of walk downstream a ways and then hitch a ride down there across. Because when you landed on River Right, across from this really nice camp on River Left at Monument there, there's a really steep slope that goes up into these schist kind of cliffs, and you got to pick your way around in there. What did you do? How'd you do it?
Well, we of course we weren't in a rush, and so we CL had sat down and looked at the maps real carefully, and I wish I remember more detail, but I agree with you. It was a challenge getting up out of there because our goal was to get up into the head of Phantom Canyon.
Okay.
The head wall there. And that's what we did, eventually get up onto a ridge, and then we had to work along that ridge back a ways before we could then turn and drop back down and go up Phantom Canyon to the head wall. So it was kind of like an S trip that we went. So as we came up out, we went down river quite a ways, got up on a ridge and went up river for quite a ways, and then around a formation, and then back upriver as we drop down into Phantom Canyon towards the head wall.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, because when I think of Phantom Canyon, I think of a canyon in Bright Angel Creek. And so between Granite and there's Trinity. And... let's see, that's about the only drainage there. Is it 91 Mile Canyon and then Trinity?
Well, let me see.
I hear the maps rustling, so what do you got there?
Yeah. Okay, So we went down, and we didn't go all the way to Monument. Okay, we came down, and what's this? We dropped down just above 19 mile, or was it 94 mile creek on the other side?
Okay.
The rapids.
Yep.
And that's where we dropped in. And that's where we camped. We weren't quite up to Monument.
Okay, so you're halfway between Granite and Hermit at 94
right.
mile. Got it.
Yeah. And we crossed over at the river right there at 94 mile, just above it. That's where the plan was.
Great. And then if you're heading upstream, there's a fault. You can work that fault. Oh, my gosh, right up through the Tapeets. And then if you want to keep going, right up through the Red Wall, up on the south side of Isis? No, not... is it set there?
We went around the Tower of Set, I guess it's called, or what's this?
Yeah.
Forest Temple?
Yeah, yeah. On the oh, and you were on the Tonto there, on the top of the Tapeets.
Yep.
Okay. And so then if you're heading... east or up canyon, the next canyon you're going to run into is going to be Trinity.
Right. We worked around the upper end of Trinity.
Okay. How are you handling your water? It's pretty dry up in there.
Well, it was October, and you know we would carry a lot of water sometimes, and I wish I had notes I could tell you exactly where we got water. We must have found water in Trinity or somewhere up in there.
Okay. If it had been a good monsoon season and it had been wet before you got there, there are a couple of clear water sources in there. That some of the Trinity water is really salty, but some of it's okay.
So then we continued to work around, all the way around to Cheops Pyramid and Isis Temple.
So there's the, not the Shiva Isis saddle, but it's the Isis, there's a saddle there that you can go through the Red Wall, and then down into Phantom Creek.
Right, but we went around the end. We didn't go across that saddle.
Okay, so went around on the Tapeets, but you got to deal with the super group in there, so you get into this different type of rock type. If you remember that. And then you come around on Utah Flats above Phantom.
Yeah.
And then you can stay on that level and go up Bright Angel to Phantom Creek.
Right.
Okay. Does that sound right? Did you guys go up, Shiva? Did you go up that south peak just to climb it there while you were walking by?
Let me see where I'm at on the map here. On Cheops, you mean? Or?
Cheops, yes, thank you. My mistake.
We went around it. We did not go up on it.
Okay, all right.
When we got up into the upper end of the canyon, though, it does split. You know, one of them becomes Holly Canyon, and the other one's Santa Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's where we camp. And then the next day, went up Phantom Canyon as far as we could go. And again, I don't know if that was because CL had read something or thought that there might be a way out or to up higher up onto the rim.
Okay.
But we ended up turn around and coming back down. We'd left our camp. We didn't plan on going anywhere except checking it out.
Okay.
And then the next day, then we came down all the way to Phantom Ranch.
And did you go down, what is it? Haunted Canyon there? Down to the trail? Or how did you get back to Phantom?
We came down the creek, and there were a couple big drops in there.
What?
And,
yeah.
The water that we had brought bags and stuff, bags and closed them up and put them in garbage bags and dropped them down.
Okay.
And then we would, it was foolish because you never knew how much water was in there, but the next thing you know, CL had dropped off and down into the water. He says, it's great, come on. So we did that, getting down through Phantom Creek.
So you basically would just kind of work your way down the pour over a little bit and then jump down into the pool below?
Yep.
Okay.
And then move to the next one and go down that way. There were two or three pools in there that we had to drop into.
All right. Fun.
Yeah. Well, Dale had to, even though he was, 13 years older than I was,
mm-hmm.
He still had this bit of childish glee or whatever you want to just kind of throw to the winds and do something sometimes.
Nice.
We took rock climbing classes together a few years later, and the guy that was teaching us, he looked at me and he said, where'd you get this guy? Like a monkey. He would just go like nothing right up this side of the hill.
Huh?
At that time, he was in his mid-50s, you know, and he was just chugging up those hills, you know, chugging up those walls like it was nothing.
Lovely.
And the guy couldn't believe that he'd never climbed before, first of all, and secondly, that at his age, he had no fear.
That's nice. Great.
Yeah. Anyway.
Who was your teacher, by the way? Do you remember?
It was in Phoenix, and it was the Arizona, what is it called?
Is that the Hiking Shack?
No, it was Arizona Mountaineering Club or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And they had people who were qualified, you know, they had classes, and then they would take you out. And then out of that, we hired a guy, or not hired a guy, but, well, we did pay him, but he was one of their instructors, and he took us out. And after we'd had the basics and then knot tying and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
And, he taught us quite a bit and, you know, even into self-rescue and stuff, which was really important, it turns out. So.
Cool. Well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it's October and you're swimming these creeks, but the water might have been a little warmish still from the summer heat or not.
Yeah, you know, we didn't stay in the water very long, so once you got dropped into the water, you just moved through and got out, and we kind of moved out, and I don't remember it being particularly cold at that point in time, although that was certainly in October, mid-October of 86,
okay.
And we went to, I know we had reservation at Phantom Ranch, because we got there, knowing that we were going to spend the night there before hiking out. And this was another time when Frank came to our rescue. He brought wine down.
Wow.
I don't know if this is good for this oral thing or not, but I think that was the last time I was ever drunk. I could hardly stand up.
Oh, my gosh.
And the next morning, we got up bright and early, and none of us, I don't think, were sober at that point. And hiked out the South Kaibab, just miserable as heck.
Oh.
Chugged out South Kaibab to get to the rim and go back home. So.
And did you stay in the lodge or did you camp out there at the campground?
No, we stayed in the bunkhouse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it would have been great for Frank because he wouldn't have needed to carry any bedding down. And had food down there.
Yep.
Gosh, how nice is that?
Yep. And we sat outside and howled at the moon, I think, until...
Oh, my gosh.
Only 2 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I don't know what we were celebrating. I guess that we had survived another one.
Okay, well done.
I don't think I ever had that far gone in a drinking episode after that. It was kind of the last one. Walking out with a hangover is not the easiest thing to do.
Duly noted in this oral history. Okay, so that's 1986. Then what happened?
1987, this is my next note, I started rock climbing with CL.
Okay.
Like I said, and this is not anything for the canyon in particular, it's just that we were interested in doing other things, and one of them was to do some rock climbing together.
Okay.
So we took this class, and we then started working with this guy. And it was all in the Phoenix area, out Pinnacle Peak and out on the rocks out in that area where we did all that climbing. And
so did you have summits in mind, or did you, you know, were you thinking, well, we're just going to learn to climb because that's what we're supposed to do? I mean, what was the motivation for that?
Well, it was kind of the latter, I think. If anything, it was kind of like, you know, have you done this? No. Have you done this? No. Well, let's go do this and see what it's like. And so I, you know, we ended up doing a lot of things outside of the canyon as I go through this. You know, some of those will come out. I mean,
good.
You know, the stuff on, we ran trails and the Mazatzals and Superstitions and down here in the Catalinas and as far as Pinaleños and, I mean, anywhere we could find a trail that we hadn't seen before, if we could get over there and either on a Friday night and then get up Saturday morning and do a run and sometimes even do another run on Sunday and have somebody like Frank who would drop us off and pick us up so we could do through runs. And we did probably 2/3 of the Arizona Trail when it was just starting to open up, that, doing it that way.
Oh, wow.
And so this was just, rock climbing was just another thing. It was like, have you done this? No. Well, you know, kind of when CL heard about my river rafting trips and stuff, he wanted to do that right away. Well, it was a couple of years before he could do it, but he got on a river raft and, you know, he wanted to row and they would let him row and everything else. So, I mean, it was just the taste of something new and a little bit of adventure, I think, was it.
Okay. So it wasn't like you were thinking, you know, we're going to climb the east face of Picacho Peak, so we better learn how to climb.
No, but we did go out and try some things, and that was always interesting.
What did you do? Well, we'll get to it when we get to it, but that'll be good. I want to know about that.
Well, in long term, I tended more towards mountaineering and less rock climbing.
Hmm.
But there was always some rock climbing involved in that as well. So. But by the time I started that, I knew at least what a rope was and how to, manipulate the ropes and things like that for what was needed on that.
So in 87, I'm assuming your harnesses were webbing, just two loops of webbing you'd step into with a big tail and wrap that around your waist and hook it all together with a carabiner?
Yep.
And your climbing rope was gold lined?
I don't remember the rope being anything particular.
Or did you get some Perlon? Perlon would have been around, but it was more expensive and, you know, the sheath, pretty color rope.
I think that's what we went to because I bought a lot of that stuff. I was doing fairly well as far as my job is concerned. I wanted to make sure we had good, safe stuff. And so, again, I'm sorry. I just don't remember what we bought. I remember I bought a lot of the equipment, though.
Okay. No worries. And you're still living in Phoenix at the time?
Yes.
Okay. And you don't remember who your instructor was?
No, I'm sorry, no.
Okay. And what else did you do in 87 then?
Okay, now I've got a trip that says 522 to 528, and it's a Grand Canyon trip. And I've looked at that date in my book and everything else, and I know I might have to do a little more research on that one. So I apologize. It's going to be another step back as soon as when I can find it. But I have not found it. But on October 1st was our next rim-to-rim. And this one was down. How do we do this? North Kaibab, and I'm trying to think. For some reason, 87. I just don't have really good notes, and that's one. I'm fumbling a little bit here.
Okay, no worries.
88. I got clear that what we did, you know, with Thunder River to Howl, Indian Howl, and all that. But I just cannot find the notes or enough notes for what we did in 1987. But I know there were two tracks. One was the one 5:22 to 5:28, and the other one 10:01 to 5.
Oh, so this isn't your rim to rim in October 1 to October 5. This is another backpack.
Yes. And we went down the nice North Carolina, and we came out to Bright Angel, but we spent time in between, and I've looked at my maps, and I've tried to figure out where we were at, and I've looked in my notes from that time, and the notes at that time were really, really sparse.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what I did on each of those trips. Now, the dates are in there, and they're marked in the notes as being in the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And the cryptic note is all I've got right now. So I'm going to keep looking, and if I find something, I'll add it. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to add it later.
No problems. Yeah, no problems.
It doesn't seem to be very well detailed.
Okay. Did you do a rim-to-rim run across in 87?
Yes, we did.
And when was that?
That was, again, in October. So it was like the 9th or 10th of October.
Oh, wow. So like the next week after your backpack.
Right, right.
October 10. And again, was this, did you organize this?
Yes.
And as an organizer, did you really encourage the people who wanted to go to, you know, make sure that they could run 20 miles no problem and try to get some elevation gain and loss in their practice? How did you kind of encourage people to do that?
Excuse me. Well, the first thing was when we first started. The very first time, I knew everybody. You know, I knew we were running together on the canals and stuff in the Phoenix area, and we'd all done at least a marathon. Each of us had done a marathon. One of the other guys of the early ones had done that same one that I had done back in 82, I think it was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had done that one as well, although at that time I didn't know him. So everybody I knew initially. After that, there started to be some other people being added on. So,
and these were friends of friends?
Exactly.
Okay.
Or somebody that, or whatever. And in that situation, I got a little nervous about that. But then the people that were bringing them on were people that knew what it was. They had done it with me. You know, they knew what the effort was. So I trusted that they were going to make the right choice as well as far as adding people on.
Sure.
Again, knock on wood or whatever, nothing ever went wrong in that respect. We had some people who found it much more difficult than they thought it was going to be, but everybody made it out without ever, you know, anything happening to them or anything like that.
And how many people did you have on this October 10, 1987 crossing?
Okay, let me look real quick. '87. We had 18 at that time.
Wow.
And at that time, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So half of them were new.
Oh, wow.
The rest were all, had done it multiple times. So, most of them was Pete Ellard, who had done it 5 times, and he had done it in 1982, the same time I did, but I didn't know him at that time, and he had actually done it the year before in 1981, which was when Alan Curtin set his then fastest time at 3:06. So Pete was the most experienced of the group.
How do you spell Pete's last name?
His last name is Ellard.
E-L-L-A-R-D?
A-L-L-A-R-D.
Thank you. Okay. So was Pete running every year? Was he doing a rim to rim every year?
Yeah, he had done it twice before, the 81-82, and then he did every one of the ones after that that I organized.
Okay.
And he was one of those that was a friend of a friend, you know, that I didn't even know him when he signed up for the very first time.
Okay.
But somebody else said, oh, no, he's done this before. He'll be all right. And so we took them all. And there are a couple I made notes at the end of that, and you can't open that. It says, I do have some videos of what we look like at the end.
Oh, my.
And they're pretty funny at this point. But one of them is sitting in one of the rooms on the south rim. And they're saying to each person, you know, well, how'd it go? And there it was, but you need a VCR to play them anymore. I don't, somebody can have those, but they're going to need to transcribe them somehow.
You bet.
If they're interested.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And that worked out okay, kind of low key. Under the radar screen for the Park Service. Running north to south?
Yes.
Okay. And you had to get a little bigger bus.
Yep.
Okay.
And we had an actual professional driver at that point, and he came with the bus.
Okay. And who made the fastest crossing that time?
Let's see. It would have been Terry Moore. He was fastest for quite a few years.
Okay.
He did it 4:44.
Wow, okay. And what was your cross time?
Well, I walked it. I didn't run then because I was gimpy. I had a knee or a leg problem, so mine is 7.5 hours.
Not bad for a walk. And then up the Bright Angel or up the South Kaibab?
We were up the Bright Angel because we didn't have any other support, so we.
Okay.
We never. The first two that were the organized ones out of the Tucson and Phoenix running clubs, those they actually had people from the hotel company up there. They had volunteers, young people that hauled water down the South Kaibab and put up water stations. One on the, when you come up out of the river and it kind of flattens out by that bathroom there on the plateau, there was water stop there. And then there was another one up on the ridge. And they had hauled water down there for us to do that.
Yeah.
So those, my times were like 5:20 or 25, something like that. And that was, of course, 3 or 4 miles shorter, too.
Okay. Was that the last hike that you did in 87?
Yeah, that was the last thing in 87.
Okay. And everybody managed to get out okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we never, we always, everybody was kind of warned, you know, once you drop off the edge of the rim, you're on your own. Nobody's going to stop and help you. Now, that wasn't true, but you didn't want anybody to depend on that.
Right. And, of course, the, you know, the vehicle had left, so.
Yeah.
So, okay, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to find your own way around if you don't come across that way.
Yeah. You know, Charlie, we've been talking not quite an hour here. I wonder if this is a good time to put a comma in this oral history.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. Of the material that we've covered, is there anything else that you remember you've left out that you want to bring in?
No, I do apologize for not having more information on 87. I'm going to keep going through those notes and try and figure out if I can make more out of it tonight.
Okay.
Than get today.
All right, no worries.
You know, I got stuff at the gate. You know, we went down Indian Hollow and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of other stuff after that.
Well, we'll get to that next time. That's fine.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, with that, let's conclude part 6 of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Charlie Schultz. Today is Friday, March 24th, 2023. My name is Tom Martin, and Charlie, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.